Regular meeting of the City Commission. If y'all would silence your phones if you've not already done so, we would appreciate that. We're going to have the invocation from Reverend McCarrick from the Winter Park Christian Church, and if you would remain standing afterwards to the Pledge of Allegiance, we would appreciate that. Reverend McCarrick.
I invite you all to bow your heads in prayer with me. God of all creation, as we come before you today, may we take a moment to thank you for the countless blessings in our lives. Each day is a gift. Each person with whom we interact is a treasure. As this group begins their time together, may you provide them with wisdom and guidance. May each voice be respected and each idea given thoughtful consideration, so that the decisions made today will help Winter Park continue to be the vibrant community that we love and call home. Bless this meeting, Lord, as you bless each participant on this day and always. In his name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend McCarrick, for being here today and for all you do in our community, not just to your congregation, but you serve our community in so many ways, as well as being a polling place for us, so we appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, folks, we'll seek a motion to approve the agenda, unless we have any changes, Randy?
No, sir.
No changes?
So moved.
Great.
I see a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Randy, we need to open this up to citizen budget comments right now.
Yes, sir.
Great. Why don't we do that? Folks, anybody wishing to address the commission on the budget? We have our annual budget that's currently being reviewed and currently being discussed. We do this at the beginning of this meeting. If anybody would like to address the commission on budget items, please step forward now and turn in a yellow slip if you wouldn't mind. Except for you, Joe. We know where to find you. You don't need a yellow slip.
Everybody knows where I am. Joe Terranova, 151 North Virginia Avenue. Overall, on the budget, like in past years, we've had a great presentation, and I owe that to the staff under Randy Knight's leadership. I think the commission's been very fortunate to have such a solid fiscal backing in the city. In going over the budget, I would think that most of the items that the commissioner is interested in have been taken care of. Certainly most of the items I'm interested in have been taken care of. I just have one item I want to bring up. It's the same item I brought up last year, and that's the trees. The one good thing since last year is that I think we finally reached the point where we're now planting more trees than we're taking down. That is fat plus.
Yep.
But there's still a lot of trees that have been taken down. There's still a big gap there that needs to be fixed. I understand that once we get all the trees down, the money that we're using for that will go into planting more trees. But in addition to that, I think we need to put some more money into trees. I really do. I think you ought to look at that seriously and see if you can come up with some additional funds. You did it last year. I thank you for that. And I hope that you'll be able to do it again this year. The other item with regard to trees that I wanted to mention is the right-of-way restrictions in terms of how wide the plot has to be. I really think we have to look at that in terms of making exceptions where exceptions are appropriate to be made. There are a number of places, especially on the west side, where you cannot plant oak shade trees because the right-of-way is just too narrow. And I'd just like to mention one of them because I go by there every day when I come over here. Over here on Lyman, there's a huge tree, a beautiful tree. It's about 50 feet tall. It's not the best tree in the world. It does have some dieback on it. But the area in which it's planted is this wide. The tree is this wide. So you have to ask yourself, how in the world did that tree grow in that spot? And the only way I can answer that question is that somebody forgot to tell the tree.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Nope. Seeing none, we'll close the floor for public comment. And that's my phone. Laura, are you going to join me?
Sure.
Excellent. Let's have Laura Neudorfer with me in regards to the summer enrichment program that she's going to cover off. Laura works for our economic development group.
Please. Good afternoon. We're here to ask you to help us congratulate our participants and our providers that were part of our 2016 group this year. Without them, we would not be able to do the program. This year, we had enough funding for 10 students that were placed with local nonprofit organizations within Winter Park. And we'd like to start off with congratulating our students, if they would come up front when I call their name. We have Kobe Sipp, Destiny Walton, Jordan Jenkins,
Madison
Whale.
Yep, stay up.
We have Madison coming. Yes. Tanisha Venegas could not join us today, but we still want to call her name out. Harry also could not join us, but we have Wendy Parra. Felix Walls. Daniel Hewley. There you go, sir. And Desire Haney Brown. So 8 out of 10 were able to.
That's pretty good.
That is a pretty good percentage. And also we'd like to, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Also we'd like to acknowledge our providers that have been steady supporters of our program for several years. We have Dr. Ruth Edwards and Sean Schaefer with the Winter Park Library. Peter Schreier and Jan Hurt with the Crialde School of Art. We have Kathleen Doss and Ronnie Moore with the Parks and Rec Department. And Robin DeMar with the Welburn Avenue Nursery and Kindergarten. Thank you, ma'am. And we'd also like to give a special thanks to the Rollins College staff who have provided our business etiquette class for the students every year. They do a wonderful job, and they always show a lot of enthusiasm and support for our program. And they cover everything from interview tips, resume formatting, networking skills, and I think it's very beneficial for the students. So we have Jackie Brito, Assistant Dean of Admissions. We have Trace Locke, who is our Associate Director of Admissions. And Lynn Kurtz, who is their Recruiting Manager. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Teresa, can we do you want to get a big picture in front of the commission? Would you all join us in front of the commission here for a picture?
Congratulations. Yes, we have some superstars this year.
I would like to learn more
about that.
There's a
write-up
about it.
We'll put Peter, we need you right behind Steve.
I'm okay.
Oh, no, you're okay.
This way? Is that better?
Yes.
Is there anyone to scooch over?
Sarah doesn't want to be behind Steve.
I can tell you, there's lots of pictures that you've never seen.
Well, if you get right here, right there. Just like that.
He's got a nice
one. I'll set it on
there.
This is my life all the time.
That's all right. Rarely am I aware of how relatively tall I am, except for Mama's last touch.
Yeah, it's
almost
7 1.
Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. And again. Ronnie, I can't see you. Go left or right? 1, 2, 3.
Got it.
Thank you.
good stuff.
Your arms are going to get tired.
Well, I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, who are you going to laugh at, right?
Well, I don't know.
You're welcome to tease me anytime you want.
Sorry. Great. You know, we're going through the budget session right now, budget season. We're talking about how to spend money and millage rates, and it's a great opportunity today to welcome David Ryder, and I see Sean here, and let's bring everybody up. Andrea, come on up, because the YMCA is going to give us a check, so we're looking forward to this.
Thank you, Steve.
It's my pleasure, buddy. It's all yours.
This is the fun part.
This is the fun part.
More fun for me than you, probably.
Yeah, and I see Troy Attaway over there with a big smile. He
knows what's getting ready to happen here. And several others, but thank you. Kind of on behalf, and I am joined by Andrea Massey-Farrell and Sean Stevenson, who's the chairman of our board for the board of directors for the YMCA. And we're very excited to be able to pass along a check here that is for $70,000. That is targeted to put in the new geothermal heater at Katie Way Pool.
Cool.
It's long awaited here, and I personally grew up learning how to swim at the Katie Way Pool, so it means something to me personally. But this is a fantastic moment because it's a further investment into the community, into our aquatics program. And as many of you know, the mantra of the YMCA is not one more child drowns. And this will help us to open up a little bit more for swim lessons. We have our Safety Around Water Week, which is generally in April. And again, I invite you all out to come and join me. It's a fantastic event where we have over 300 participants that we give free swim lessons to. So, John, we want your team out there as well. But very happy. What I will say just kind of briefly here is this is a financial investment, and we've invested over $9 million into the community here at the facilities of the YMCA, and this one's towards aquatics. But what's that allowed us to do, though, is, for example, this summer, I have 50 young men and women that are having either the first or second job that are getting lifelong skills in our aquatics programs being lifeguards. And really, it's a lot about them because these skill sets, they learn first aid, they learn CPR, they learn a lot of things that will help them and be better citizens of our community. So there's lots I could say about it, but we're very happy to partner up with the city. And from a programming perspective, we look forward to partnering with the city further and the community and the citizens to figure out how we can make Katie Way the best that it can certainly be. So again, I've got a check for $70,000. I look forward to presenting.
Great.
Steve, that's the first time seeing you come back with money from one of those. But
yeah. Well, it's 2 in 2 weeks. We had the nice donation last week to help with the scoreboard and some other projects over at Showalter Field. So, wonder who's going to be next. Next week. Let's keep this streak going to people giving us money.
Steve's hot. Keep it going.
Appreciate it. Great. Randy, City Manager's report.
Nothing to report, sir.
Any questions for the City Manager?
Yes, I have one. I noticed that the portable, relocatable buildings are still there. Do we have any direction as to what's going on with that?
George, have you got any more information from the
who's left? So is this going on 4 years now?
It seems like. George, I'm sorry. Would you come up to the microphone, please, so we have it on the record?
Yes, we were given a contact with the daughter of the pastor who is preparing to meet with Jeff to bring a presentation back to the City Commission on what actions can be taken from her end. There's still a church congregation that uses the facility, and the daughter wants to come back and appear before you, and I've passed all the appropriate information on to her. She is an attorney, works for Cobb County in Atlanta, Georgia, and is very much wants to come and do whatever is necessary to make it presentable to the community and take whatever actions the commission desire.
So when do we expect that kind of next steps on it, George? We keep hearing that there's conversations happening, and we'd like to put some kind of date certain to it.
Well, I've passed all the information on to her to contact planning to bring it back. Since it was a conditional use, then it needs to come back before you all for a conditional use, and I've passed on the contact information to her, and it's in her hands to follow through with that.
It's really not in her hands, okay? I mean, we've been waiting a long time for this, and I don't want to be a jerk about it or anything, but this is, we can't keep doing this, guys. We can't. Something needs to happen over there.
George, is there any code enforcement mechanism that applies here?
Well, they applied for a conditional use that was good for 3 years, and it expired. The conditional use was to utilize those portables for a preschool, and they
as a child development center, not a preschool. It was going to be a daycare center.
Yes. And that conditional use expired. They did take all of the requirements with regard to upgrading the portables and installing a restroom facility within the church to make that available. They installed landscaping and drainage. They met all of the exterior requirements as far as the building permit. So,
do we know what happened relative to their actual license that they had to get to do?
They never applied for that. Right. It will be very difficult for that building to ever meet code to become a child development center, which is what I spelled out way back when.
Can we ask the city manager and the city attorney to pursue an investigation of alternatives available to us through legal procedure to address the issue?
You have a nod from me here on that. I think you get one from Commissioner Sprinkle.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so please do. Thank you, George.
Okay.
Okay, move on to the city attorney's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, two items. With respect to the bond validation lawsuit, the city's bond council has coordinated with the state attorney. They are attempting to set a date now for the trial, which hopefully will be sooner than the 6 to 9 months that we would estimate, originally estimated, so it may be quicker than that. So hopefully that will be rolling sooner.
Okay.
We should know this week based on the judge's calendar and the state attorney's calendar.
Thank you.
Second item with respect to the drone ordinance, there was an attorney general opinion issued, I believe, last week that does give cities authority, which is confirmed by the the attorney general with respect to cities' authorities on that matter. Also, there are numerous cities around the state that are taking some action on it, so there probably will be a collective effort. Later this week, we have the Florida Municipal Attorneys Association meeting. That will be a topic among the steering committee, so hopefully we'll have a more comprehensive approach rather than a piecemeal approach to bring back to the commission.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Erdner? Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Did we miss you last week, or were you here last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Mr. Geller was there.
Mr. Geller. Welcome back, Kurt.
Thank you.
We will hold citizens' comments closer to the 5 o'clock hour. The consent agenda. Anyone? Look for a motion to approve.
Minutes.
Do you want to pull the minutes, Commissioner?
Yes, thank you.
We'll pull item 10A. Sorry. That's okay.
I'll move the rest.
Okay.
Second.
Great. We'll open the floor to anybody for public comment on anybody wishing to address the commission on item 10B and C. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner Cooper, 10A.
On page 12, I need to ask city clerk said you circulated Mr. Weldon's change.
Yes, and yours.
But it's not in here.
No, not in there because the packet had already gone out, but it's in the final thing for the mayor to sign.
Okay, so we'll say that in the, if this is okay, Commissioner Cooper, that the motion that we did to approve, well, we do need a separate motion now since we did pull it out. So you'll make that motion to approve the minutes as?
I'd like to approve the minutes with one change. On page 12, the discussion of NOD needs to specify that the planning manager indicated that an NOD would be required to transfer the property.
So, Commissioner, can I just clarify, are you asking for approval of the minutes as the final minutes are reflected based on the city clerk's comments?
Reflected in whatever you have, yes.
I don't have them here, but I'm saying her final comments. Okay, yes. Great. Is that clear, everybody?
I'll second.
Great. We have a second. We'll open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 10A? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Randy, 11.
Yes, sir. This is the time of the year that the commission is required to set the tentative millage that will be going to the tax collector's office to put out the trim bill. And that is the notice that will go to all the taxpayers in August, and it advertises the public hearing for the budget. So in your packet, you have a proposed tentative millage of 4.0923 for the operating budget, and a debt service millage for the public safety complex bonds of 0.1715, and we seek the commission's approval of those two rates.
And Randy, just to clarify, those are same as?
The 4.0923 is the same as last year's operating millage. The 0.1715 is slightly less than last year's debt service millage for the public safety bonds, because as values go up, the millage rate required to service the debt goes down.
Okay, and for our taxpayers in the audience, this is the ninth straight year that this millage rate, we have not raised the millage rate in 9 years, correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. I'll move that.
I'll second.
I'd like to amend the motion.
Okay. Mr. Weldon.
I would like to request that the commission agree to send a proposed millage rate to the county appraiser reduced from 4.0923 to 4.00.
Okay. We'll look for a second on that. Seeing none, that fails for lack of a second.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah, I would like to propose.
Like to amend the motion?
I would like to amend the motion.
Thank you, sir.
That we look to increase the millage rate by 0.1 mils to allow ourselves flexibility in the budget conversations.
Okay. Look for a second on that. Seeing none, we'll close. We will. That fails for lack of a second. Any other comments on the millage rate? No. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
No.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Public hearings. George, or Jeff, you guys all look the same. So many years just looking at you guys. Just look out there, George, oh, Jeff, same. Troy, Peter, come on, anybody.
This next item is a continuation of the conditional use request that was on our agenda 2 weeks ago to modify the original approval for the townhouse development at 652 West North next to the Coop. And as you recall, we're going from 11 units down to 10 units. But all of the discussion the last time had to do with the fact that the unit locations adjacent to the park were closer than they were in the previous submittal. Original submittal, the buildings were 5 feet away from the park. It was possible to come out those side front doors, not have to get onto the park. The new submittal is that the buildings are going to be located 1 foot away from the city park, so it's really not practical or feasible to be able to come out the front doors and not step onto the city property. So while we discussed and had in the packet a maintenance agreement that would allow access to the park, what we discussed last time was it's so close, why don't we consider a sale? And so we had, in the meantime, talked to the applicant. They are interested in the sale. Prospectively, there may be an offer that the city would be interested in, but we would have to go through the notice of intent to dispose because it was purchased with assets of the CRA. Chapter 163 requires that, and so of course we don't want to talk about any of the dollars involved today because prospectively someone else could bid on this property for whatever reason. Important point is that the NOD, as we discussed, would be sent out with the commitment that it was going to stay zoned parks and recreation, that it was going to be sold with a deed restriction that no buildings could be put on the property, that it would have no development potential. So it ultimately then would be valued based on just open space as it is today and not bring any development potential yield, et cetera, economic return above just being open space to accompany this project. In the meantime, the applicant hearing the prospect of maybe we're too close will get up here in a moment and will present to you a little alternative that moves the buildings back to a 3-foot setback away from the city park. That does allow you to come out of the buildings if all this stuff doesn't work out with the NOD. This would allow you to come out of the buildings, use a sidewalk to get around back to the back of the property. And the reason that they can easily do that is all they have to do is shrink a little bit the driveway width. Normally the minimum is 24 feet. They have 30 feet in the back. They still have plenty of room to move the building back to a 3-foot setback. So hopefully that takes care of the concern that the buildings are too close. The plan that you're being asked to approve tonight is that plan with the 3-foot setback. You're not being asked to approve the development agreement that was in the packet. The development agreement had the maintenance provision. But we're going to see, after we do the NOD, if the prospect for a sale works out. If it works out, great, we'll sell. If it doesn't, we can come back later and revisit the development agreement with the maintenance provision. So that's where we are. Hopefully I made that understandable, even though there's some moving parts.
Mr. Weldon.
Yes, if we're being asked to approve this amended plan that has the 3-foot setback,
correct?
Should we, and the NOD goes through, are they obligated to build it with a 3-foot setback?
No, at that time they would return and say, please allow us to put it back to the 1 foot.
It's their property at that stage.
I understand.
And it would be their property.
But it's still a conditional use, so is it?
Yes. Any questions for staff? Yes, Mr. Seidel.
Would they be allowed to put a fence around the property? You said no structures, but would they be allowed to put a fence if they...
Yes, they would, and the detail of that, how that would work, etc. That's going to be part of the NOD.
Okay, and then so, but the actual part going up for sale stops short of that existing round area, correct?
Yes, the part up for sale does not include the front 60 by 60 piece where we have the pergola, where people see the open space when they go down Morse. It would just be the rear 240 feet. It's a 30-foot wide strip that really doesn't have a function anymore since it doesn't lead you to the community center.
Ken, we also received an email from the neighboring property owner that was supportive of this. And again, we can talk about that during the nod, but that was
something. Yes, I understand, yes.
Did it come today?
No, I received one. I'm not sure if it went out to the rest of the commission, but I received it last week.
I did not get it.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to bring up an interesting point. Not that this would happen, but if someone outbids them on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's park.
Mm-hmm. However, the commission under the notice of disposal has the right to accept any of the bids or reject all the bids. And I actually have used the wrong term. It is not a bid. It is a request for proposals to purchase. So you can weigh what their use is, etc., and make those value determinations.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Farmer, would you like to say anything?
Sure. Jacob Farmer, 135 North Knowles. I just printed out a couple more copies of the new site plan that showed the 3-foot setback. To pass out so everyone could see it. And I just wanted to clarify one quick thing. I just wanted to clarify all the confusion over the buildings versus the front doors being on the original site plan being at 1 foot versus when last week I was here, I said 3 feet. So the entrances were at 3 feet. There are, let me move this over here. There's site walls in this new site plan here. There's site walls right here.
Right.
That's at the 3 foot setback line. Now the door is 2 feet further back from that. So okay. The door was at 5 feet. So the original site plan that showed those site walls at 1 foot, the front doors were all at the 3 foot mark. However, we still slid it back to where any building structure would be 3 feet from a property line. However, the doors would actually be 5 feet from there. And those are actual site doors that go into indoor, outdoor courtyard space. The front door is then, you know, way back here. So it's the actual front living front door is probably 15 feet from the property line. But I just wanted to clarify that because there was so much confusion over when you're looking at a site plan, you just see a dark line and it looks like that's living structure. Those were site walls with interior courtyard entrances. Sure. That's all.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Farmer? No? Okay, great. Mr. Farmer, if there's any comments from the audience you'd like to address later on, you're certainly welcome back. Discussion from the commission?
Here, you want to take public comment?
Well, we can make a motion to approve.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, I did have one more question.
Okay, well, we have a motion on the table?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay, great. Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah, Randy, we had talked about access across the back part of the property close to the water park. Is that something that needs to be maintained with the adjacent property owner?
Just so you're aware, Commissioner Seidel, that was addressed last week when we had a kind of discussion about that. And as a city, we recognize that there's really no thoroughfare traffic through there to use that. So that was not part of the request of them.
Okay, yeah, no, I meant just from that property owner itself, not the...
If we go through with this, if the NOG process does not proceed, if we go through with what we are discussing tonight, then it will still be maintained as city property so people can go through, but there is not a lot of foot traffic. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he's talking about from the other property owner,
to the west?
Yeah, to the west, right? Them being able to go
right,
across
they're okay
the back
with
side.
Losing the access. That's what I just
How about the building over here?
Yes, the property owners to the west, right. I think Mr. Farmer's been in touch with and has communicated with them, and I received an email that said they were okay with this.
Mr. Mayor, could you send a copy of that to all?
Certainly.
Thank
City
you.
Manager, you have one of those, do you not? Did I forward that to you? If you don't, I could certainly get it to you.
Do those emails get put in the permanent file?
That email was just an email between myself and the property owner. He was alerted by city staff, and he called me to ask me about it. So once he had time to digest it, he sent me an email back saying he and his partners were okay with it. So it wasn't an official thing back and forth. He just said he was okay with it. But I can certainly forward that to the city manager, and he can distribute it out.
And of course, they will be noticed when the NOD goes out. So.
Right, certainly. Okay, let's open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item, please step forward. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Are you all ready to vote? Okay, Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Marion?
Yes. Mr. Farmer, thank you for your patience in this. We appreciate working with you to figure this out. Thank you. Request of Wakaiva Capital Partners.
Yes, this next item is also a conditional use request to build a 7-unit project. Properties at 741, 751 Minnesota. They're on the north side of Minnesota, just as you get to the railroad tracks, across from Azalea Lane. Property zoned R2. And under that R2 density, they can build 7 units, which is what they are requesting. But what they are requesting is actually very good for the city in more than one respect. Pull up the site plan a little bit. I say that because while it is the unit density that the zoning permits, all of the other people that the staff has talked to over the years this property has been for sale have all talked about doing a unified 7-unit townhouse project or a 4 and a 3. And this has the interesting design of doing the 7 individual single-family homes. So that will be much more appealing than having the larger buildings of seven in a row or four and five, et cetera. It also is well below what the density could be in terms of square footage, because while they could build to a floor ratio of 55%, this is like 35%. The lot coverage is similarly, the footprint similarly half of what they could build. The impervious coverage is also less than could be built. So while the unit density is what the code allows at the max, it's far less square footage, and being single family in character is what P&Z really liked when they looked at this plan. Staff had some conditions. Planning and zoning made some suggestions, which they agreed at the podium to incorporate in their plan. It's really all ready for approval. They're still discussing with Urban Forestry the fate of three cypress trees, whether they can be saved or not. So we're not going to approve the landscape plan component. We're going to let them continue to discuss that with Urban Forestry. But otherwise, this is recommended to you unanimously from planning and zoning.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Question? Mr. Cooper.
What is the status of discussions of the rails and trails and the bike path? Would it be on this side or the other side? Or would it not come this far at all?
I don't know of any discussions.
There's no discussion anywhere.
Which isn't here.
Pardon? Stops at Fairbanks.
Thank you. That's right. But which side of the tracks is it on at Fairbanks when it stops?
West.
The other side.
Any questions for staff?
Hi, question.
Mr. Seidel.
Jeff, is this a community that could put a gate in front of it? Would they be allowed to put a gate on their property?
They prospectively, such as Pearl DeLock there on Osceola, if they can meet the 30-foot setback distance, work out the things with the fire department in terms of access, they prospectively could. I don't believe there's any plans for that at this time.
Okay, and I guess the intent is for the sanitation vehicle to pull in to get to their, or would they be putting their dumpsters down on the street?
What they're planning to do is do a little enclosure back in this area that instead of enclosing a dumpster is going to enclose the seven auto cans.
Okay.
So there'll be a place for the residents to put them outside of their building space, and then they can roll them out to the street on collection days.
So they will be putting them out at the street on the collection days.
That's right.
Days.
But they'll have a place to put them that's enclosed in the back during the rest of the week.
Okay.
Did you
have
an answer? No, sir.
I'm sorry, I a question, but I thought that our policy was that you couldn't have gated communities. Can you help me with that? I obviously either don't understand something. So is that just mean single family homes can't have gated communities, or is that per zoning?
You can't have a gated community of single family homes. So for example, Windsong can't be a gated community, right, or any other subdivision. But if you have a condominium complex or an apartment complex where it's all under one ownership, and so the entire parcel fronts on the street, then they have the ability as a condominium, one property front on the street, to do a gated community. Now, if they choose to have this as a condo, they potentially could do a gated community, but if fees are late, as you know, it's more popular nowadays to do fee simple. If they do fee simple, then they have to give us a public access easement, and they cannot do a gated community. And that would be the example on Lee Road, the 1800 Lee Road.
Thank you. I'd just forgotten.
Great. Commission discussion? No? Would the applicant like to say anything? I'm not sure if the applicant is here. Okay. No desire. We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item? Please step forward. Turn in your yellow sheets. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. You ready to vote?
I'd like to propose a motion.
Yeah. Oh, I thought there was a motion. I apologize.
I'm sorry. No. Did we do the motion yet?
No, you did not. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the last item.
Okay, I'd like to propose the motion to approve and then to amend also, if I get a second for the motion.
You can make that.
Do you want to approve it with your condition?
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to.
Why don't I do that? Would you mind if I'll make a motion to approve as presented with conditions set upon it by staff and P&Z?
Second.
Okay, then I'll take your amendment.
I'd like to propose that we specifically exclude the property from having a gate at any time in the future?
Are you talking a drive gate?
I'm talking a gate to separate their property from the street to essentially function as a gated community.
I would second that.
Well, I think that's not allowed by code.
Yeah.
The description.
But it's so fee simple, it's not allowed by code. So.
Well, it would if it's a condominium. Maybe we should ask the applicant if they have any plans to see.
But it still has to come back in front of us, will it not?
Not for a detail of a fence.
Nope.
Okay. Great. So, Commissioner, why don't we will? I'll take that amendment. And you have a second on that with Commissioner Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay. Would the applicant like to discuss that item prior to us having the vote on this? Which, again, to be clear, would restrict you from putting a fence across the front and restricting access.
Just a gate. Right. Not a fence.
Well, you wouldn't have a gate unless you had a fence.
Well, they could put whatever size.
The road. And again, to be clear, you're talking about a gate going across the drive.
Talking about that right here. I thought we said they had to have a 30-foot setback.
Yeah, the buildings are set back 30 feet.
I'm sorry, would you identify yourself?
Chris Hughes, Principal with Cobb Capital Partners.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Sure.
Do you understand the question?
I do.
Okay.
Potentially right now we do have a gate that we are showing, but it doesn't cross the access point. It's just showing in front of the houses.
Okay, so it's a fence in front of the houses, but no gates, so no gated.
It's a decorative fence.
There's no gate through the traffic flow.
As proposed right now, yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Well, the motion in front of the commission is that the amendment that there you wouldn't be allowed to have one.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have. Let's take a. Cindy, would you any further discussion from the commission?
No, just for clarification.
Yes, sir.
So proposed amendment to the motion is no. Gated access or no
that there would be no
access.
Gate across gated. The drive thoroughfare
okay.
in egress or inner.
Got it.
Okay. Is that clear, guys?
Yeah.
Good. Cindy, so let's read the roll on the amendment, please.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
No.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now on the main motion.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you.
May I have a comment on this?
Certainly.
When I was reading this, I noticed it was a 4-0 vote from the... and I was just curious why we didn't have more people at the P&Z meeting.
I think someone recused themselves. Maybe one or more people recused themselves on
okay.
this. Do you recall
right.
that?
Well, it was really the situation. It was the day after July 4th holiday. And so between travel and vacations that first Tuesday, it was... We didn't have more than four members.
We appreciate them being there.
Jeff, did you want to?
Yeah, I did want to say before we started the next item that I am a tenant of the property seller, so some people might perceive that I have a conflict of interest in this matter. So Allison McGillis of the planning staff, I'm looking at Allison, she's going to do the presentation.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Allison. Welcome.
Okay, so the next item is a conditional use request to build a one-story Orchard Supply hardware store of approximately 32,355 square feet on the properties located at 1111 South Orlando Avenue and 1240 Miller Avenue. The applicant has prepared a PowerPoint presentation that describes this project in detail. It discusses the code standards that are being met and the parking variance that is being requested. Generally, the proposed project details are meeting the zoning requirements with the exception of a parking variance. The overall layout and design is consistent with desires of staff, and the applicant has met with the neighboring residences. The Planning and Zoning Board unanimously voted in favor of this project with conditions recommended by staff and with other conditions as offered by the applicant after their discussions with the neighborhood. Now I'm going to turn it over to the applicant to show their PowerPoint presentation, unless the commission has any questions for staff.
Let's see, Allison. Any questions for staff?
Randy, you got my questions I had sent about, did the architect look at the existing structure at all that was out there? I just never heard back.
Yeah, that did not happen today.
Okay. Is that a brownfield? Is that a designated brownfield?
Thank you, Allison.
Sure. Thank you.
Not a brownfield, it's just really ugly right now.
And give us money, we'd be happy if you guys want to go through that. My name is Becky Wilson. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Opadan. We have Jay Moore here as the developer. We also have PJ Such as the engineer and Sandra Gorman as our traffic engineer. I first want to commend, it has been a pleasure to work with this developer. This is their first development in Central Florida. This is going to be the first or about the first orchard, not with an S, orchard, hardware supply in the state of Florida. The others are being proposed in Naples, Deerfield Beach, just some really nice communities. And I want to tell you that this developer has worked hard with the neighbors. We've had over three community meetings with the HOA adjacent to us. They didn't invite their lawyer because they wanted to come up with compromises. They also had, you know, one Saturday, I think two or three hours, a conference call on the phone to really understand what the concerns were of the neighborhood and to work on the conditions that we've come up with and that that planning and zoning approved. So, just very quickly, Orchard was established in 1931 as a farmer's co-op. And as the orange groves in California turned into houses, much like we have seen here in Central Florida, the store also changed to become a hardware store as opposed to a farmer's co-op. I've got a little bit of information up on the screen about it, but I want to point out that what they really pride themselves on are high-end paint selection, their patio furniture, and their nursery, which is, you know, in your mind, think more like Appenberry's than Home Depot-type nursery supply. As I mentioned, this is the most landscaped, most architecturally enhanced building orchard that that you're going to see in the state of Florida if you ever travel around and see the others as they're built. You all are familiar with this site. It is between Indiana and Miller Avenue, basically across from the Einstein's Bagels. It is currently Zone C3, so we're not here asking for a zoning change. There is a portion of this property that is, I don't know the history as to why it was ever left as an O2 office zoning, but we are not developing in that area. That area is being used for our landscape buffer, so we're staying out of that. This is what it looks like now from a bird's eye view. You all are familiar with sort of the different iterations this property has had over the years. I think many in the neighborhood are going to be excited to see it cleaned up. This is a shot of it was last in Eat More Produce. There is also an antique store. And this is one of the surrounding uses. So to the west, there are the townhouses that were developed several years ago. And they have a very nice feel coming down that street. And we've worked really hard with Drew to preserve trees in the right-of-way, and then also move some other trees on the site that we were not able to preserve. And we have Krispy Kreme to the north, also a printing shop to the north, and some apartments. Of course, very well known to the south is the bank building, and to the east is the Einstein Bagels. This is the site layout. I want to point out, as Allison suggested. By the way, was that her first city commission presentation? Very good.
She's not done yet.
We are at 31% FAR. Our max is 45%, so we are by no means, you know, maxing out what can be built on this site. We have had several iterations of the layout. One which originally had the building with its rear to the neighbors. The concern with that is then you just have a sea of parking up front. We have reoriented that building so that so that it appears as a smaller building, because you're seeing the side of it, with the parking then to the north. With respect to the parking study, so the city code does not have a parking category for a hardware store. So you have to kind of look around and pull together different things to come up with a parking code. And so what staff said is, well, if we were to designate certain areas of the store as different things, you've got some general retail, you've got some office, you would be required to have 119 spaces. So what we then looked at is, well, what do we need? What does Orchard need? And we went to various stores, and our peak demand is 36 spaces. We then looked at ITE, which is the Institute of Transportation Engineers, and we said, what would they make a hardware store have? And with their ratio, we would need 62 spaces. Then we also looked at home improvement stores, what their demand is, and that is a 1.9 per 1,000 square feet, so that would have, if we'd applied that to us, that would have been 72 spaces. We are proposing 96 spaces, so almost three times what we believe our demand is, and certainly more than the ITE hardware store and the demand for home improvement. So it's a 2.8 ratio. We believe that far exceeds what our demand is going to be. One of the other things that we spent a lot of time working with the neighbors on is the residential buffer. So this was very helpful for me to better understand what the views would be from the townhomes. So they have some existing landscape. We're then proposing an 8-foot screen wall. City Code 6, we've agreed to 8. We then have planting that is on the other side of our screen wall, both live oak and palm. Then there is a detention area, which we have agreed to plant with cypress trees. And then there's another grouping of landscaping in our parking buffers. Then you have our drive aisle. We then have another 8-foot screen wall before you get to our service court. So as you can see on the slide, we have a 30-foot proposed buffer. The setback from the actual building is 105 feet. And then the distance between our property line and the, I'll call it the second 8-foot wall, so the one that's before the courtyard here, the service courtyard, that's approximately 75 feet. So there's some significant buffer between the townhomes and our building. I mentioned the increase in the wall size. Just wanted to show you how our buffer had changed. Originally we had some crepe myrtles, some of the oaks in here, and then after working with the neighbors, they requested a much more dense buffer with larger trees. When we went to P&Z, we were asking to stay at the 3-inch caliper, and we have since agreed to go up to 4 that are planted on 30-foot spacings. And also the wall is a precast concrete wall with molded stacked stone design and decorative columns, so that it is a very attractive wall that also mimics the architecture of those townhouses that have the stacked
side. What type of wall is that screen wall that's around? Is that a dumpster that I see on the side facing the commercial?
That is a dumpster. I assume it would be the concrete. This is the updated architecture. It's hard to see when it's this far away, but it's in your packet. Like I said, this is not our prototype. Staff worked with us. You know, I always complain about this, but you look at the architecture, but you've got to think what you're going to see are there actually landscape in front of it. But your staff worked a lot with us as to what the Indiana facade would look like, because in essence, this really doesn't have a rear. And this was the rendered, some of the rendered site plans, note that we agreed to do a monument sign and take down the pylon sign. This is also there on Orlando Avenue, and then looking north on Orlando. So we agreed to the enhanced architecture, enhanced buffer, increase the screen wall heights, loading restrictions, which you'll see in the conditions of approval. We also agreed to give the HOA some money for speed bumps. Now, these speed bumps are not on your right-of-way. They have a driveway that connects from Miller to Indiana, and their concern is that people would use that to cut through. So we will give them the money to install speed bumps through there to deter people from cutting through. We also agreed to limit employee on-street parking, and we've restricted trash pickup. Now, these are the conditions that were in your staff report. I want to point out one of them. It was mentioned in your staff report, but it didn't make its way into the conditions of approval, and that is we agreed to restrict our delivery hours to the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. So we would like to request a motion to for the final approval of this CUP, subject to, you can either say staff conditions with that one addition, or subject to the conditions up here. If there are any neighbors that are here to speak, I'd just like the opportunity to address any of their concerns.
Absolutely. Any questions for the applicant?
Just a quick question about number four from P&Z. It says where they're talking about, in consideration of the parking variance, the applicant shall endeavor to secure off-site lease parking for their employees. That struck through.
They P&Z did not recommend that.
They did not recommend that.
That's correct.
So do we have a fallback position? What if you're so popular it turns out like Trader Joe's? Have you thought through what that plan B is?
Well, you know, I understand the parking sensitivity. Obviously, I've been in this community throughout Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's knew that they were asking for a variance from what a grocery store needed. We don't believe we're asking for a variance from what we actually need. The discussion at P&Z is that we agreed that for our grand opening events and that type of thing, that we would secure off-site parking and you know, shuttle people back and forth. But 90...
You're really not anticipating.
96 is a lot. I mean, if you look at a hardware store.
So. What's the expected maximum staff level during the day?
You know what? I knew that before I got up here. 10 to 12.
And you have 96 spots, so if all 12 of them bring their own cars, you've still got 82 spots.
Yes.
Thank you.
Short-term memory, first thing to go, Beck.
I have one more question.
She's much too young for that.
About the speed bumps. So the speed bumps were recommended by staff?
No, they were not. The HOA...
Okay, so here's my question about that. I thought we had some other process we had to go through to get speed bumps.
It's added
to
private
property.
You are exactly right. If it was in public right-of-way, there would be a completely different process. This is for on their private drive.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care what they do there. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, one more. Yes. Your comment about requesting another condition regarding delivery hours, can you clarify that?
It on the screen, it's number four.
Right.
We
and
agree.
It's not in our packet.
It
right?
is not in your right. packet. That's what I was pointing out. We offered that up, and I just want you to know to add that to your conditions.
Sure. Becky, can I ask a question as a follow-up to that? Can you talk to me about the delivery method? It's fairly easy to control your own distribution network and the delivery hours, but if you have the distributor for Coca-Cola coming in and dropping off cases of Coca-Cola, they're not the easiest people to reschedule as they're on routes. So is the distribution methodology through this?
I know what I think the answer is, but can I double check with Jay?
Absolutely. Self-fulfill?
It's
100%?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Becky, you'll certainly have the opportunity to address your comments. Thank you.
Have we moved it yet?
We have not moved it yet.
I'd like to move it.
With the condition.
Yeah, everything that's in there.
I'll second.
Good. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission, please step forward.
My name is Robert McAdam. I live at 611 Genius Drive, and I'm here representing my parents who live at 1251 Indiana Avenue. They are elderly and can't get out of the house any longer. My mom was 92 on Friday. So, when we heard of this development, obviously they live in the unit that is closest to the delivery area. It's the end unit that abuts the property. And they had a couple of concerns, obviously. They were concerned about lighting. They're concerned about noise. They would be concerned about parking on the street and generally about traffic. And I think the conditions that the developers agreed to have addressed all of those issues in probably the best way possible, in a cooperative way. I think the Homeowners Association worked well with all the parties. I did have two questions that came up since the planning and zoning meeting that I spoke at, and I'm assuming they're really good answers for, but I'd like to try to ask. One is, in the parking situation, I can't dispute whether or not they need more or less, but I do know that hardware stores have seasonal use of their parking spots for Christmas trees or pallets of mulch or whatever, and when that is used, will they, I don't know how many they anticipate using for those seasonal uses, and could they address that issue? Okay. Secondly, it looked to me on the rendering that the wall that they plan to construct is not on their property line. There is an existing fence on the property line that is my parents' fence. Who is going to maintain, and how will that get maintained, the distance between the wall and the property line? Those are my questions, and that's all. Otherwise, we support this.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, council members. Jack Greason, 1102 Schultz Avenue. I'm also a resident in Townhomes of Harbor Place, but I also am here representing the board today. First, let me say it's been a pleasure to work with Mr. Moore and Mr. Such. We've had multiple communications presented at multiple of our board meetings, and we've exchanged emails even up until today with phone calls as well. And again, they've been a pleasure to work with. Many of the changes that they've outlined on the screen before you did come directly from not only the people who live within our community, but from specific members of our board as well, those who are going to be, you know, most affected by this. One of our, actually three of our members actually sit right on the board, and their wall will be next to it. To speaking to Mr. McAdam's point, the wall that they're actually setting up, we've already talked and had that question. They're actually going to set it 2 feet back from the existing property line. So the units closest to that will actually gain a little square footage in their yard, which they've already expressed in conversation with us that they're going to allow our unit owners to maintain, have access to. I can't talk enough about how much they have helped us in this conversation and how considerate they've been with regard to our concerns. That's really the most I have to say today. You know, we're unanimous in favor of it.
So will your homeowners association be maintaining the property from the gentleman's mother's wall to the wall that they're building?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, and we have plans, and we've already been in discussion with them to take some of the money that they've already set aside for us for the speed bumps and other plantings to try and make some improvements to the existing foliage that's going to be there and increase some of that buffer as well. So we're pretty happy with where it's going to go.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for working with them so hard.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments for the commission? Great. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Becky, the only thing that wasn't addressed was the seasonal parking. Do you have any?
It's not our intent to use any of that for seasonal parking, but if we do, we actually have to get a permit for that stuff, so we would have to prove that.
So there's no intent to take up any current parking spaces for additional product?
No, but if somebody in the future came to us and said, well, what about if we do the pumpkin patch here this year, we would have to show you again that we had more parking, and at that point we would be open and we would understand.
Great. Thank you, Becky. Okay. Further commission discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Seidel.
Go. Ms. Well, you can go first if you're ready.
No, Mr. Seidel.
All right. I'm on.
He's tired of listening to me.
Okay. I did talk to the applicant today. I talked to Becky as well as the engineer and the developer, and a couple of the items that I'm bringing up, not because I don't like the project, but because I think there's things in the city of Winter Park that we value that we could have done a little better with. Is there's on the one corner there's an existing like Art Deco building that really is, I think it was built in 1948. I don't know. I don't understand the architecture. I look at it. I just know I think it looks cool.
Okay, which corner are you talking about?
Here, the one
on the corner of their site. which is actually where their front entrance is. Okay, so this is a
across Miller,
Indiana. I want to say.
What's in that building now?
This is the
antique shop. Oh.
Right, it's the antique shop.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Your point.
Yeah, and if you look at what's along the corridor on 1792, this fits kind of what's been out there, and it's a character building. I would call it one. And so. And that building is actually right on the right-of-way, where the building they're building now is going to be set back, like the standard setback. So it would seem that, had they preserved the facade and used that for an entrance, they're an older company. They're from 1931, I think it said, that I believe, so they like history. That, to me, it would kind of been cool to incorporate that into what they're doing. And that just didn't come up. So I don't begrudge them for that. And
so
then,
you wanted them to incorporate an old building into their...
If they could have incorporated the facade, just the facade, just the front of the building.
From a design perspective?
Could anything have been done? And it just wasn't investigated. But yes, that we would let them...
Don't understand what you're asking them to, whether you would ask them to consider the setback itself or the design of the...
That if they incorporated the facade, they could have the setback all the way up at the front.
Okay.
And whether or not that's important to them, but it's kind of to have that discussion. And I don't, to me it just looks cool. Okay. I'm not, and so it's kind of one of those things where what I see them building now, to me it's architecturally pleasing, but we can see it in Naples, we can see it in Sarasota, we can see it wherever, this kind of architecture. But if you look at what's there today, you'd only see it here in Winter Park. And the other point that Tom McMacken brought up before on one of the approvals we did is, if you look down this street, there's all types of different architecture in each of the blocks. It's not like a block full of the same architecture typically. And so it would be nice if we had the breakup in the architecture along the entire block. They do just have the store in the front and the parking lot on the side, so that kind of, that does some of that, but it to not look like a big block building, so to speak, on 1792. So that was one item. The other item that I've spoken about before is low-impact development drainage design. They've brought their stormwater treatment is all in the back. They have one area that infiltrates it into the ground. It would have been nice if the infiltration could have been spread out throughout the site so that we would do a better job of recharging the aquifers. This what they've done is good. What they've done is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It would be nice if these things were kind of looked at early in the process, and so I'm asking staff how can we be doing that as opposed to by the time it comes to the commission, some of these things that we see haven't been looked at. So,
I think it's a fair point. If you would bring that up to, listen, as regarding the water discharge, if that's something you'd like staff to look at, I can support that. I mean, not on this project because we're already down past that.
Agreed.
But moving forward, looking at projects, I think it's something that seems to make a lot of sense.
I have a question. Do you do like a DRC as a group? Does anybody, do you sit down, does staff sit down as a group and look at these projects?
Yes, we do. I mean, this is a good point. In this case, the priority was getting that 30-foot plus separation from the townhouses.
Right.
That's why the retention.
Okay, so let me just make sure that, so we have one, do I have a third to just at least ask
yes,
that?
Yes, absolutely.
That for the future, Jeff, would you consider that for the future? Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Sadell?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to understand, and I had asked Ms. Wilson about this also. Let's just say they're delivering the trucks after hours or they're doing the things that are in the agreement that they aren't supposed to. And do our fines escalate for that? Does our code enforcement escalate, or is it just a standard one-off each time they do it and they're taking the risk?
No, they absolutely can escalate at the discretion of the code enforcement board, and they can escalate as high as $5,000 for an infraction.
Okay, great. So we have some teeth in the enforcement. That's what I was going to ask. Okay, thanks.
Mr. Sprinkle, sir.
Well, the only problem I have with what Greg was bringing up is we don't have anything that says that building has any value to anybody. In fact, there's probably as many people who are glad to get rid of it and not look at it anymore as there are who want a new one. So I just think we have to be careful that we don't start just saving stuff because it's old.
Well, I want to be clear too.
Yeah, I mean, we're not for this one anyway. But and looking forward, I mean, I know that building too, and I don't know that we should have ever told people that they needed to incorporate that in a new orchard building, which looks like
well,
all of these.
In my adding for him to have staff look at was just strictly the water discharge, not the design.
No. Yeah, I have a problem trying to take that building and trying to make a new building out of it.
Okay. One person's eyesore is another person's beauty. Commissioner, anything else? Commissioner?
Yeah, I would like to say something. Yes. I'd like to say that having spent time on the Planning and Zoning Board and also up here now that the extent of cooperation and intelligent communication between the neighbors and the applicant is a model for how we ought to be pursuing our redevelopments in Winter Park. I only wish that in some cases in past developments that the neighbors talked before they reacted, and I think the two representatives of the neighbors to this project who spoke tonight make our job easy and appropriately so. Everyone's happy. This is a great project for the city of Winter Park. I hope you are tremendously successful in your business, and I intend to vote for it.
Great. Okay. We have taken public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Congratulations. We look forward to it, guys. Thank you. Jeff, item, Mr. Erdman, item 12D.
Just to clarify, we did incorporate the...
We incorporated everything that was on that
the
slide.
The delivery restriction?
Whatever on that slide was the motion that Vice Mayor Sprinkle made.
Mayor, was that also include the applicant's offered condition that was not listed?
The applicant's offered condition?
Yes.
That was on that slide?
Yes.
It was not in the document that was presented to us, but she added it.
Okay. And that was the motion to include that?
Yes. And just so you know, I think we all just confirmed that was on
good.
The vote as
great.
Well.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So, Mr. Arden?
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park granting the petition of the Ravadage Community Development District and dissolving the Ravadage Community Development District pursuant to Section 190.046, subsection 9. Florida statutes providing for severability, providing for conflicts, further providing an effective date.
Great, thank you. Mr. Briggs.
City has, as you see, has received a request from the board of the Ravadage CDD to disband that entity. City attorneys reviewed the ordinance and approved its form and content. Obviously, they originally thought the CDD would help them finance infrastructure, but are not finding it to be a valuable tool now. So we only did this to help them, and if they want to disband it, seems that we can accommodate that desire as well.
Can I ask, are there any funds currently within the CDD?
I would have to turn to the applicant.
Great. Any questions for staff before you discuss?
Yeah, Jeff, I recall seeing like one of the things that we were having to do was the signal improvement on Lee. Is that still part of what they have to do, or is that part of the CDD?
No, that's part of the overall PD approval.
Okay, so that has nothing to do with
it? No.
Okay, great.
How we fund it was originally.
That was what I wanted to clarify, too. So the shared drainage that is a part of the plan remains a part of the plan and has to be provided, like the retention pond that was a part of the original.
All of the infrastructure requirements, including traffic lights, all of that still remains as conditions of the plan development that were granted by Orange County. All those financial requirements are still must be met.
So to be clear, the CDD was simply a funding mechanism for some of these improvements, but the dissolution of this does not mean that the requirements.
All the conditions remain. This is just your elimination of that particular funding mechanism.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? We do have the applicant's attorney, engineer.
How are you?
Please, would you just identify yourself for the record?
Jan Carpenter, counsel for the CDD.
It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see. Wish it could have worked. The CDD is a special purpose government, and the purpose was to provide funding through bond or tax increment financing. And when those methods did not work on the development plan, the developer never had a use for it. The CDD never took on any obligations to build any of the developer's obligations. So the entity was sort of out there when the tax increment financing didn't work. You kept it in place just to see as the development progressed if there was a need, and at this point there's no need for it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Have you answered my question?
I'd like to move it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Great. Let's open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item, please step forward. Seeing none.
Just listening.
Okay. Daniel, please. You guys sat through all this other stuff. You may as well.
My name is Daniel Sale. I live at 1144 Park Green Place. I live very, very close to the Robert Dodge property. I think, as each one of you know, I'm very, very respectful of the work that you do. I think that Windsor Park is extraordinarily important. I think that you make good decisions on a lot of things. I realize that Robert Dodge has many, many issues, some of which are apparent to some of which not so much, and that it's a complex issue. What concerns me about this is that I feel that as a city, an enormous opportunity is somehow being wasted. A piece of property of this size and of this potential value comes along once in a century, if ever. It'll probably never happen again. And the opportunity to use that property well, to do something that would be of enormous value for the city, somehow doesn't seem to be happening for all kinds of reasons. I would urge you, each of you, get together in some way, help make something happen with that property. Not for the developer, not for anybody else, for the city as a whole. 100 years from now, you don't want people to look back and say, what a wonderful opportunity was lost. Isn't that a pity? Gee, if only they'd had some vision. Please, have some vision. Thank you.
Thank you,
Jim.
Thank you. Press conference and their program down at Lake Eola. What a wonderful, unknown event. And they're going to do something in our community. They're a service organization. And I just have to remember to wear red next time because they all had red on it except me. And so
you didn't tell me to wear red.
Come on, black suit. But it's Leave a Legacy, Build a Future, and they are going to be here for their next big event. And we're going to be the recipient of it. So they did a beautiful job.
Awesome.
I was honored.
Thank you for going there. I couldn't make it this year. I got bumped last year. Which is an interesting story in and of itself.
Okay.
I'll share with that sometime. Commissioner Cooper.
I actually have two things. The first one is about the comp plan review. You know, that's going on now within the boards. And this is actually a request to staff, Randy. I have sent you an email asking that those meetings be included on the normal listing. Is Clarissa here? Yeah. Where you normally list our board meetings and public meetings, I just think that it's important. I know we have that sheet off to the side, but people are used to going to that particular page to look for meetings. And the second thing was making sure...
I can support that. Thank you. Sure.
Yeah, thanks. And the second thing is making sure that the agenda packets for the boards include the markups for the comp plan changes, because that... we haven't quite got that posted yet on that meeting page. It's just something new, and we're right at the beginning, and we normally do that. But I know a couple of them we've missed along the way.
I hesitate on that one because you don't know what the markup's going to be. And, you know, until the board makes a decision as to what they're recommending it be, I wouldn't think it would be notable.
Well, it's just like our agenda packet has all kinds of recommendations that we have not yet adopted. And the important thing is you might look at something and say...
But our agenda packet's gone through substantial vetting and staff and
well, something's come from staff. If you go look at the P&Z agenda packets, they come from staff.
I'm obviously not going to convince you, but I'm a little leery on that one. I'll support you on the first one.
I'm with you, Commissioner Weldon. I'm not sure that's necessary right now.
I think it's really necessary that the residents of Winter Park have an opportunity to understand the changes that staff is recommending so they know whether they need to take off work in the middle of the day to come to a meeting to make a point. I mean, I think the comprehensive plan is, next to the charter, the most important document we have. It establishes policy. If staff is recommending changes to that document, the residents need to have an opportunity up
front.
They
do have an opportunity.
At the end. No, no. If we're going to make any difference and have any communication and come to any consensus, we need to have conversations at the beginning, not at the end when people are already invested in the changes.
Everyone who is invested in the changes at the beginning will be speaking to the board members, will be speaking to us, will be at the meetings. And I encourage everybody in the city to show an interest in the process, too.
Well, of course. But you can't always take off work. But if you know that a change is being recommended to our top-level policy document, you look at that change and
I understand the importance. I understand the importance that I understand the importance that you give to that issue. And I encourage you to, as you will, to continue to inform the citizens yourself as to what you think is important about it.
Do we have a second and third? To have an opportunity.
Yeah, I was trying to show.
This is absurd. Every agenda packet that we have is published on that website. Why would you take the most important document in this city and deny that opportunity?
Well, can you go back to the original question?
Yes, you certainly are. No, we're not. No.
That's certainly one person's opinion.
It sure is. I'm telling you, agenda packets belong on that public board and meeting notice, like every other agenda packet that we have.
I can go to the website and pull down an agenda packet. You can send links to everyone that you want to have read it.
That is not my job. That is the communication job of a city that values public participation and transparency.
Sir.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the commissioner's question. Is that we're having what meetings that aren't, agendas aren't being posted?
Well, what's happening is in our process of preparing for changing the comprehensive plan, it's being sent through numerous boards. What I am asking is that it become a policy of the city consistent with the policies we now have in place, that these board meetings are listed on the public meeting list that we have, and that the agenda.
Are they already not? Am I missing something?
She has support for that. We've already said
that. Oh, okay.
And the agenda packets are there so that you can tap on the agenda packet and look at it.
And we're already doing that. So for an example, the Parks Board is going to discuss the recreation open space element. It's already in the packet.
But we didn't do all
of
them. And so that's what I'm asking. That's all I'm asking, Jeff.
And sometimes some of it is a last-minute addition. Some of it doesn't get done out in time. So we're not stalling the process. If people are interested, which I certainly hope the residents of Winter Park are interested, as the business owners are interested, then they should attend the meeting.
Yeah,
I didn't mean the business owners. I think anybody that's interested needs to be.
No, that was not a slight change.
Now, the recommendations that are made by that board then go up to the three-person board and will be on the agenda for that three-person board meeting.
Correct. That will be on our agenda.
And then it goes to our agenda after that, right?
Yes.
They're all public meetings.
I'm saying we started off the process and we had some glitches. I want to make sure I understand what the process is going to be.
If I could just, being on the Utility Advisory Board, we had an item that was new business that people would bring things up for our discussion that we wouldn't know about until we got there.
Of course.
So I guess I'm looking at it as structured so that you can find it if you go to that three-person meeting.
Commissioner, let me be clear. Is Dory still here?
No.
Okay. Did she hurt herself again in the course of this meeting? You've got to keep an eye on her. Please don't let her out of your sight.
You heard her with the
I may have hurt her unintentionally.
No. So
when the
items up for discussion in front of the boards are posted to the website, they have the agenda packet as it is ready to go when it is turned in. If there are additions to the agenda packet, they don't continually update it because sometimes it's a last-minute decision.
And we don't always get P&Zs updated.
Exactly.
The
task force committee is a public meetings too. So those are all public meetings too, as are the city commission meetings to discuss the comprehensive plan discussion.
Okay. Those agenda packets will all be there. That's all I'm asking. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, just one quick comment I think is appropriate to make, Carolyn, and that is that because I might disagree with you on one issue or another, it doesn't make me or any other commissioner absurd.
Okay.
Well, no, I think the process.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
I have. I would like to encourage more public participation as well. As I noted earlier in our work session today, and I don't know if I got three nods to do it, but the idea was to have staff send around to every board at the direction of the commission the chart of the anticipated pro forma CRA unallocated surplus for the next and last 10 years of its existence to see if we can't get some thoughts from the board members on what, if they have some ideas, to share them with us.
Brandy, did you, just to clarify, I think we got three nods to do that, correct?
I wrote it down.
Yes, so I think you did have three nods.
Okay. Sure.
And I think the only caution would be to make sure people understand the difference
it's
in the
wish
general
list
fund
too.
And the CRA and
yeah.
some
We're
of the boards might
guidance.
Not really.
Well, I think some of that also yeah. comes back to, this is a discussion I had at that meeting, then some of it comes back to us too and not right. trying to hype hysteria on it.
Right.
And
yeah.
if things do or do not get done, whether it's the electric underground, right. we need to make sure right. people do understand that we're on time with
it's
it.
It's a wish list.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of things that are proposed that doesn't mean they're happening. It doesn't mean they can
right.
happen. But it doesn't even mean we support them happening. It just means
exactly.
people's wish list. So.
And to that point, my second point is one that I also mentioned. I'm not sure now that it requires any action on the part of the city attorney, because I think we've clarified that the city sought the permission of Orange County, as was required under the CRA plan and law, to borrow the money to build the community center. The idea was to consider whether or not it's possible to potentially bond out some of the CRA increment over the next and last 10 years of its useful life to perhaps fund part of the library event center and garage project. And Mr. Arterman, are you satisfied that that is possible given the reality that we seek approval from Orange County to do so?
The monies that were previously approved, the bond, the $9 million for the expansion of the Civic Center,
right.
or the Community Center, excuse me, I think was actually included in the plan.
It was not. I didn't find it. If you can refer me to it, I would like to see it.
Certainly glad to do that. With respect to the Library Civic Center, it likely would require an amendment to the plan and approval by the county commission, I believe.
Right.
Now we haven't confirmed that, but I'm happy to look at it and confirm that if necessary.
Would you do that sure. to an email through?
Certainly glad to.
Us. Do we have a third nod? Great. Thank you.
And I have a question for Kurt.
Sure.
Can I just make sure Mr. Weldon's finished?
Yes, that's fine.
Commissioner,
The part that I would ask you to look very carefully at is the parking. If we were only talking about the parking structure, because I think the CRA plan was pretty clear that it addressed the social and economic ills of the West Side, and then the next amendment was the parking blight within the CRA. So possibly the parking garage, if that was the entity we were talking about. Just left me to look.
This from the expansion plan. If yes. the public demand for parking at the park warrants it and nearby private property owners indicate interest, a BCRA will entertain the idea of constructing a parking facility via a public-private partnership or in or adjacent to the park. Now, I'm not contemplating here a public-private partnership, but
I think we've got
it. I think the... To clarify the question, if, well.
I was going to do that for you, but go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, I think what we're all talking about are any dollars
right.
from the CRA.
But you can use it for, it
under
use
what circumstances?
All
of
the,
what would you,
library
partnership.
Yeah,
glad to.
Thank you.
What would you recommend we do should we decide to try to go down that road?
Absolutely.
Is there other are there other ways we can find funds? That's what we're asking,
okay.
right?
In addition
okay.
to the CRA.
Right.
I don't believe I have anything to report, Randy. Did I miss anything?
Just how about Greg?
You will
yes. come back to him.
Oh, was I going to come back to Commissioner Seidel? Yeah. Commissioner Seidel.
Thank you, sir.
I'm looking after you, pal.
I got my thoughts together, sir, and I think one of might be one of your items here as well. Is the we got the check for the Katie Way pool to keep it heated,
yes.
and there
yes.
were concerns about the locker room.
Yeah.
Is that, and since we're talking about budget, that might be something that might be nice for us to do an investment in the facilities at the pool so that you can stay warm the whole time you're out there. And so, anyway, I thought that was you that brought that up.
Can I ask you, would you mind if I just piggyback on that? Can we get, what's the latest report on that plan? Can somebody give us a refresher on the plan, what the overall plan for the whole facility is?
Sure.
Thank you.
So that would be next time?
The residents that said they need to check for the hot water heater.
Okay, see, I knew you were worried.
Did you find that?
Just check it out.
Can we figure that out?
I did. It was given to the Y, not to us.
Oh.
And they have it. They still have it.
They might want to give it to us.
Okay, so the other item that I wanted to mention was, I met with the folks at Mead Gardens about their plan. I don't know if the rest of us have met with them. So that's another interesting funding item to discuss. It seems like a real good idea to me.
I'm scheduled to meet with them tomorrow.
Okay, great, great. So if you haven't met with them, it would be nice if all of us did before we finalize our budget conversations. The other thing I spoke with Randy about, and it seems like once we have some more knowns on what our library strategy is and some dates, and I think once we find out when that schedule is set, I think then we can kind of look at some of the just so we all understand and the community understands how we're moving forward and what our plan is and what we're doing. And yeah, I think this will develop over the next month or so, but I think it's important to kind of share that with everybody.
So that's certain parts of it.
And you did decide, there has been a decision that we are continuing to rent the Civic Center until.
Once we know
that's kind of where I was going.
Once we know the schedule of the
right.
the lawsuit, then we'll make a decision whether to push back the closing of the Civic Center into January, February. Because there's a looking at the design right. timeline. I mean, it's very likely that we could do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't think I have anything to report, so I will take public comment on anybody wishing to address the commission on anything that was not covered tonight. The podium is yours. Thank you for your patience waiting this long.
Thank you. First of all, real fast, I just would like to thank the city of Winter Park.
Could you just please identify?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Stuart Bogue. I live at 2270 Howard Drive, Winter Park. First, I just wanted to thank y'all for the touching tribute you had for the Pulse Memorial and the Globes. The thought, the music, and everything that just went in, I was deeply touched, you know, and just how determined Clarissa was to get those Globes lit. You know, is she still?
Yes, she is.
Excellent. Good afternoon, Mayor Leary and commissioners. As a public school teacher, I start back next week, so I'm not sure how many more of these meetings I will be able to attend. So I wanted to come back this week. As a teacher of almost 900 students, I frequently hear, "Mr. Bogue, you are the best art teacher in the world." Now, I understand I'm not allowed to ask specific questions to y'all or the audience, but I wonder to myself how many times the commission and mayors might hear, "You are the best mayor and commissioners in the world."
Never.
I'm telling you, it gets addictive. So last year, after a student proclaimed this to me again, I said, "How many art teachers do you know?" And he's like, "Just you, Mr. Bogue. You've taught me since kindergarten." It's a fine struggle. I try to teach my students between fact and opinion. It's a fact that last city, the meeting, it was an obvious amount of work and time and consideration and money that was put into Vision Winter Park. As a former ad agency creative and a PR copywriter, I certainly understand the challenges of designing and wordsmithing by committee. Give me a class of crying and screaming kindergartners any day. It is a fact, Vision Winter Park is not a regulatory document, but it is a great place to start. And now here's my opinion. I think the new development going up at West Morse Boulevard and Orlando Avenue across from Trader Joe's may be one of a witness to Winter Park's prehistoric period, where there was no collaborative process to protect Winter Park's timeless scale and character. In my opinion, the city bought and tore down the aesthetics of the booby trap, only to approve the aesthetics of a tourist trap to go right in our main corridor. there are actually four different style lampposts on this corner, and they just put up a sculpture that to me is remnant of Shamu's tail splashing. I worry this will quickly be dubbed or marketed as International or I Drive North. Well, when I hear traditional scale and charm, I don't immediately think of Florida tacky tourists, but it is one of Central Florida's long tradition. I sincerely hope that the residents are listening and the steering committee vision will help guide our beautiful city back on course and away from aesthetics such as this one. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck back at school.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Wait, Allison. Dean wants to come.
Dean wants
to come.
I'll give you
a
BFW 151 North Orlando Avenue. And I wasn't going to say anything, but that whole Morris Boulevard and 1792 is really, it's hard to say the right word without going too far. But if we could do anything with the lampposts, if that, I mean, they think that they're going to be doing something like Tiffany lampposts, and those are so apart from the actual architecture of the buildings. I mean, the buildings are there, but they can do something with the lampposts. If they'll just make those lamp, those three sections of the light, plain, if nothing else, opaque, whatever. But it's really, you all need to go down there and look at it pretty carefully, because it really doesn't go with the character of Winter Park. I'll write mine up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anybody else? No? Okay, folks. Allison, nice job on your first
one. Yes,
Daniel,
we're doing this piecemeal.
Steve, while he's walking up, but, you know, the last commission meeting ended for me at 3 a.m. I really appreciate you getting us out of here at 5
o'clock. That's right.
It was a self-inflicted wound.
That's right. Just to elaborate on the subject, just very recently I heard someone mention something about fact and opinion, and we've been hearing a lot of opinion, but not necessarily fact. Another thing is if we really want 1792, as it is often called, most often called, to actually become really part of really Winter Park, stop calling it 1792, start calling it Orlando Avenue, be much better. It should be thought of potentially as a beautiful boulevard, even though it's not that.
How about Winter Park Boulevard?
That would be wonderful.
Throw a fourth name on it.
That would be wonderful. I mean, I don't know if you have to go to the DOT or whatever to get a change, but sure, why not? So even in Orlando, they don't call it Orlando Avenue.
Okay, we're going to try this one more time.
Thank you.
No, we are done. Thank you.